Folks, if I could ask you to turn in your Bible, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And then we're going to flick over to Exodus 34, 29 and 35. So if you could get 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and then we'll flick back to read about Moses in Exodus. The context of this reading is Paul justifying his ministry to Corinth. In Corinth, Paul would have visited it, and this is his second letter, and you remember from his first letter, there had been a lot of so-called super Christians, great preachers, great orators, and Paul maybe sometimes felt that the people thought he was inferior and that his gospel in some ways was weaker than these super preachers' gospel. And also the fact that Paul would have been living in poverty. He'd have been living, and we'll read this later, in a tough situation. And some of these preachers in Corinth would have been living quite comfortably. And he's making the case here that, look, the gospel we preached was the true gospel. And you, the converts in Christ, are evidence of that gospel. Okay, so that's the context in which we start this letter. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll read the whole chapter. So are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now if the ministry of death, carved in letters of stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all, because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. Since we have such hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I was reading that in my devotions. I'm reading through 2 Corinthians, and I read that passage and didn't understand it, if I'm honest, because I didn't quite understand what it meant about the veil and about Moses. And I didn't quite understand the strength of Paul's words there, where he calls the Old Testament here in the law with such firm words. You know, he calls it the ministry of death. That's the Ten Commandments handed down from Moses. Paul calls the ministry of death and the ministry of condemnation. And he does that because the law of God was something that couldn't be kept. And he does it because only through Christ, when he met Christ, he knew, I'm no longer under the law. I'm under Christ. I'm forgiven. It's through grace. Now, what helped me understand this was going back and reading about Moses in Exodus 34. So if we could maybe turn and read that a second, please. Exodus 34, verse 29 to 35. The shining face of Moses. Now, the context of this, you'll remember maybe a few weeks before this, Moses was leading the Israelites out of Egypt. He paused at Sinai. The Lord called him up onto the mountain. He went up to the mountain, and God gave him, do you remember, written in the finger, by the finger of God, the Ten Commandments, the testimony, as it was called. And Moses came down the mountain, and he was away for such a long time that the Israelites, you remember, had said to Aaron, look, he's not coming back. He's led us up here for no reason. And they melted down the gold and they made a calf of, do you remember that? And they worshipped it under Aaron's direction, incidentally. And Moses came down and, do you remember, he saw it and he fired the tablets down and broke them. And what I'd forgot about, he actually asked the tribe of Levi to come up to him and go out and every one of them kill two people. He says, go out into that crowd and kill two people. And they did. And it had been a horrible time that. So there was thousands of people there, so they killed thousands of people. And they came back. Moses then feels compelled to go back up to the mountain again, and he goes up for 40 days and 40 nights, and he doesn't eat. And he comes back down the mountain again. And when he's in the mountain, the Lord tells him, I'll renew my covenant. Even though you sinned, I'll renew my covenant. And he comes back down again, and this is what we read. He gives him again. He writes with God's finger. He writes in the tablets of stone. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, he came down from the mountain. Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he'd been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, and the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak to him. Now, that's a lovely story, and there's a lot for us to learn, a lot for me to learn in there, because first of all, when Moses met God, it had such an impression on him that his face shone. Do you know? Had such an impression on him, and he didn't know his face was shining. I think to myself when I come to church or do my quiet time and I meet with God, is my face shining? You know, is there an impression put upon me? Is an impression put upon you when you meet with God? Is your face shining? I have to be honest, it isn't. But there's a lesson here that Moses spent time with God. Moses was also 40 days and 40 nights waiting upon God for that blessing. That's a lesson to me too, that maybe sometimes we expect God's blessing immediately. We've maybe lost that patience to wait upon God and wait upon the blessing of God. But the thing which was a wonderful thing here, and this is the only instance you'll read of Moses' face shining, and you don't read of Moses' face shining after this. Moses' face shone because this was a great covenant from God. This was God saying to the Israelite people, I am your God and you are my people. And the covenant was the tablets of stone. The covenant, as you know, is a legal agreement, a binding agreement. When God said to the Israelites, I am with you forever. I am with you forever. And this is why it was such a wonderful event. But I am with you forever if you keep my law. Do you understand that? If you keep my law. So it was a conditional agreement. And if they didn't keep his law and rebelled against him, God withdrew from them. Now that's important, because this is why Moses put the veil over his face. Moses didn't put the veil over his face to hide the shining light of God. Moses put the veil over his face because that his light was fading. The shine faded of Moses. And this is what Paul talks about in Corinthians. This is why this makes sense. Because let's go back to Corinthians. Because you'll read there, incidentally, when Paul spoke to the people, he took his veil off, for he still saw his face shining. And only after did he put his veil on. Paul says Moses put the veil on because the light was fading for Moses, and he didn't want to show that fading to the people of Israel. But Paul tells us why that light was fading, so if we can get back to 2 Corinthians. And this is why Paul calls the law. Verse 7. Now, if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? And the beauty of that, folks, is only when Paul was saved and knew Christ did he know that the law that he tried to keep all his life and couldn't keep, but had to keep trying to keep it, he knew when Christ came, I don't have to keep that now, for I can't. I'm free. The new covenant in Christ meant that he was saved by grace, not through the law. Now, and it's only because Paul had so much confidence in God and confidence in Christ, he could call that, the law of God, the ministry of death, the old law, because it was about works. Now, we have something to learn from that. I have, because you see, like it or not, that's built into us to try and live by works. I think sometimes we earn God's, if we're doing well and we've been obedient, we think we've earned God's pleasing, we've earned God's favour. That's not grace. We think by our good living, by our good works, we've earned God's favour, and I think that's built into us, and that's part of the old law. But then we don't do it. We can't keep it up. We know we sin. And then where do we go? We feel down, we feel guilty, we feel judged by God. What Paul's trying to say here, because the people in Corinth were going down that route of good works. Look, do you not realize that when the law of God was given, it was so glorious, Moses' face shone, but it faded because it wasn't permanent. Whereas the inheritance you have now is unfading, it's unperishable, it's grace, it's there forever. Because he knew he couldn't keep the law. This is what made Paul feel very confident, reading in verse 12 here. Since we have such a hope, we are very, not just confident, we are very bold. We are very bold, because he knew the blessing of God was there, it was constant. The new covenant was constant. It was unfailing. He says there in verse 16, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And that veil meaning that he can see clearly Christ, he can see clearly the love of God in Christ. Now, that's a wonderful testimony. That's Paul trying to say what he had learned, that he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He loved the law, but he knew the law didn't satisfy. He knew good works. He knew religion didn't satisfy. What satisfied was the Spirit of the Lord. And why? Because it gave freedom. It gave freedom in his life. We read in verse 18 there, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. That means the constant love of Christ doesn't have to be earned. It's through grace. And it's a hard lesson to learn that, isn't it? Because we feel we don't deserve it. We feel that we're up and down a wee bit. The constant nature and the love of God. What I love about Paul here, but what Paul's really saying here is that we have got something better than the blessing of Moses. So when Moses' face shone, he's actually saying we have something better. But he also knew we wouldn't always sense that. We wouldn't always believe that or feel that, because life's tough and we don't all walk around shining, and we don't all walk around with our face glowing, and we know we don't. And he's honest about that, and he goes down in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. He says this, but we have this treasure, this blessing of Christ that will never leave us in jars of clay, to show what that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Now listen to this, This is Paul talking about knowing that great blessing of God, but this is the words he uses. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. And this is why, because we always carry around with us in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. The Bible's a very honest book. You know, the Bible meets us where we are, because the Bible and Paul knew that we would be living in a life where we would not always be victorious or feel victorious. We would not always feel that our face was shining with the presence of God, because we're weak, we're frail, we don't live as we ought to live. The beauty of that is we're not condemned by that, we're encouraged. Paul encourages it because he says, look at us, you know, afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. As we live our everyday life in the Lord, some days you will feel that peace and that shining presence of God. There's other days you won't. And you certainly should never feel in those days that the Lord has withdrawn from you, or that you shouldn't be living in a state of anxiety or a state of stress. You shouldn't feel that. Why? Because here's Paul, who met with the risen Christ, still said that his days were full of being perplexed, being confused, being uncertain, but never quite given up, you know, never quite defeated. So on your lowest day, in your weakest day, when the devil says to you, you're a Christian, you shouldn't feel that way, you should be living a victorious life. That's not the case. For if Paul couldn't live a victorious life every day, you'll not, I'll not. But you see what Paul's reminding us here, that covenant of Christ, but it's better than the covenant Moses had, because it's not dependent on the law. It's not dependent on your actions. It's dependent on the grace of God. Now, I know I have to pray in my life that that's a reality to me. Do you know that it's grace that saves us, not works? Because I think we feel that sometimes. I know I do. And I think it's natural in us to feel that way. Thank you.